It's the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Grande, and we've got over 800 brand new Mazdas with outstanding incentives, like low monthly lease payments and low APR financing. Yep, it's just a great time to buy. So don't miss the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone, and welcome as we are getting ready. The San Jose Sharks looking to make it two wins in a row. Ended March on the right note, getting a 4-0 win over the Blues. And then tonight, it is the Seattle Kraken, 7:30 go time and 7 o'clock pre right here on the Sharks Audio Network. To give us more on the Seattle Kraken, we are now joined by the play-by-play voice of the Seattle Kraken, Everett Fitzhugh. Everett, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Not too much, man. Not too much. We're down to our final couple weeks of the regular season, man. They say this is always a marathon, not a sprint, until you look back at the regular season and you're like, where the heck did all this time go?
It really does feel that way. I was joking. I was doing the pre and post on TV the other day, and I was talking to the co-host, and I was saying, we last did this in December, and now it's pretty much April. Like, it does fly by in an incredible fashion. What's the 30,000-foot view on where the Kraken are right now? They've played 73 games on the season, 30-30-13, 73 points on the year. What is the top-down view?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this season, from the top down, depending on who you ask, I think the answer is going to, for the most part, be the same. A little bit of a disappointing year, considering where you ended last season. I mean, you lost game 7 of the second round to Dallas, 2-1. And if Jordan Eberle's stick is 6 inches higher off the ice, he buries an empty net backdoor tapping, and you're going to overtime in game 7 of the second round. So I think a lot of folks internally, externally feel like this season did leave something to be desired. I think offensively, when you lead the league or you're near the top of the league in both 5-on-5 and your goals for number offense last season, and now you look at where this team is this year, defensively you're still good. You're in the top 10 in goals against, but you're still in the bottom 4, bottom 5 in offense. So the 30,000-foot view is a bit of disappointment, but you're moving in the right direction. You called up a few of your prospects who you expect to have an impact on this organization moving forward. So, I mean, there is a lot to play for, even though it's not playoff seeding. A lot of questions need to be answered this offseason personnel-wise, but I do think that these last 9 games are going to play a big role in determining the direction of this team, definitely next season, but for a few more years down the road after.
In the game against Dallas, it just seemed like there was a lack of rhythm overall. And what do you attribute that to? Is it turnover from the roster a year ago? Is it just kind of the narrative of what you've seen this year with the offense just never being able to find really that consistent puck possession and the same creativity they did a year ago?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think what people fail to realize, or maybe not fail to realize, that's not fair. I think what people don't remember about last year's season is that you had 13, 14 players from last year's team with career highs in goals, assists, or points. You lost 101 points of offense from your fourth line, Morgan Kiki, Ryan Donato, Daniel Sprong, all playing other places right now. So having to replace a big chunk of that is huge. I think Matty Beniers not having the season that he wanted, Andre Burakovsky struggling this year as well with injury and then trying to get back to where he was as well. I think there are a number of factors contributing to that. Also, number of players throughout the season, throughout the summer, they have said no one's going to take this team lightly. I think last year, Seattle caught a lot of teams by surprise. This team saw a lot of number two goalies. They saw a lot of maybe 80% efforts, teams overlooking Seattle. That didn't happen this year. So a number of factors, I think, contributed to it. But you look at the Dallas game. I mean, this is a Dallas team that they are very hard to play against in every sense of the word, offensively, defensively. They check really, really well. Seattle only had 18 shots on goal in that game against the Dallas Stars, outshot 30-18 in that game. So for Seattle, the offensive chances were few and far between. The time and space wasn't what they saw in the two previous games against Anaheim. So there are a lot of factors going into that game, but then just the whole season as a whole.
You brought up the name Ryan Donato, who was a guy I really liked with the Sharks, and I was on a personal, selfish level sad that he didn't stay with the franchise, but listen, I understand how this works as a business. But last year he was only 27 points on the year, but he was plus 16, and for a guy, like you said, he was part of that fourth line. Like, to me, that was one that I wondered about, because he seems low key, like one of those character guys that has a bigger influence than is ever going to be reflected in the metrics.
I think he does. I think he is a player on the ice that you can put anywhere in your lineup. I mean, Ryan Donato was playing top line minutes. He was playing fourth line minutes. He was healthy scratch from time to time, right? And then everything in between. But also, too, you're right. He does bring a calmness. He brings a veteran presence that sometimes goes unnoticed. It is very underrated about him. He's never going to dazzle you. He's never going to wow you consistently. When he does, though, he's got some offensive ability. He's made a few nice moves in his time in Seattle. But Donato is someone who I think his loss is felt on this roster far beyond what he brought to the score sheet. I think his leadership, I think his ability to create plays, I think his grinding, hard-working attitude that he brought every day is something that every team would covet. And I think he showed off those attributes well here. And you can see how a guy like him, Morgan Geeky's another one who, can win faceoffs for you. This is a team that doesn't have a right-handed center. And he's a face-off winning right-handed centerman. So these are all just areas that you notice more when those players aren't here.
What is the expectation of Shane Wright coming up?
His expectation has been clear. He go play your game, every day this season in the American League down in Coachella Valley. He has made steps. He has made progress. He is in a culture of winning. He is getting used to the pro style of game. People don't realize he's only 20, right? He can't even buy a beer yet. He scores a goal tonight. He can't even celebrate after the game with his teammates because he's not 20 years. He's 20 years old. So, he is fairly or unfairly the most polarizing player that we have in our organization. So the pressure is there on him. I think he puts pressure on himself. Obviously, externally, there's a lot of pressure put on him. But internally, people understand the ceiling that Shane Wright has. They understand that, he is going to be a good pro. And if you watch him, I watched him today in practice, from where he was at the time of his first call-up, where he was last season, to where he is now. Shane Wright, he skates well. He can shoot well. He thinks the game well. All of these things have always been there for him. But now he's getting that confidence to put all of that together at the same time. When you first saw him play in the NHL, there was that hesitation, there was that kind of stagnant play. He stands still a lot. You could see him thinking about his next move. Well, now you're seeing him making that next move. He's playing more of the North-South game as opposed to the East-West game. So you're going to see a different Shane Wright. And I think this year in the American League has done a whole lot to help him out. He's got a big summer ahead of him. I'm going to pencil him in on on the opening night roster next season. I think a roster spot is his to lose coming in the next season, and he now needs to take that next step in his career, in his maturation. Now, next season being his third full pro year in pro hockey.
I'm curious what you think Dave Haxtell is telling to his players, knowing the San Jose Sharks, who are at the bottom of the NHL right now, but just beat a Blues team that is very much alive in a tight playoff race right now. And I in no way mean to say that the Blues did not take the Sharks seriously, because I believe they did. But the Sharks have had this thing about them this year where they have beaten good teams. It's not like they've just beaten Anaheim or Chicago or something. You know, they've got wins against some of the upper echelon teams in the NHL.
Well, listen, Seattle has swept Boston this year, and they've gotten swept by Montreal. Make it make sense. listen, this is a Sharks team. I mean, I don't need to tell you. They play better. They are better. They don't play better. They are better than their record would indicate. It's been a tough year in San Jose. Mike Greer, who has been one of my favorite players as a kid growing up. So I will give Mike Greer all the leeway and all the flowers he deserves. But you know, it's been a tough year. A lot of difficult decisions had to be made with contracts and personnel here in San Jose. But now you're starting to see that youth, and you're starting to see a bit of a core develop and a vision develop for down the road. And I think that San Jose, they play a very good loose style of play, right? Like they check well, which is a team that Seattle has issues with, a hard checking team, which Seattle also checks very, very well. You know, they present some issues, but I think for the Kraken, they can't take this team lightly, because the last two times the Kraken have played in this building, they've not scored a goal. So I think that needs to be out there. But San Jose has had this Kraken team's number in recent games, both home and away. So, going into the last 9 games of the season, the message has been clear to Seattle's players. It's been, we're playing for pride. Whatever motivates you to go out there and win hockey games, that's what you need. Yes, the playoffs, you know, are not likely. Mathematically, you're still in it, but let's be real. You need to go out now and win hockey games, set that tone, set that foundation, establish a winning mindset going into the off season. Like I said, it's going to be a big off season for a number of areas in this organization. You need to go out and win these hockey games. You got 9 of them left, and set that tone for the summer and then in the next season.
What are the perceptions that you hear around the Sharks just from around the NHL? Because I know they are in a rebuild, and I think people understand that. But sometimes I get the feeling like people ask, what's going on in San Jose? And it's like they don't pay attention to the fact that, like, yeah, you've got to tear this down to the studs. And that's what Mike Greer has been doing. What do people ask you about it? Or do you ask other people or hear this as a talking point?
Yeah, I think, you know, because of unfortunately here in San Jose, the lows have been low. You look at the losing streaks and you look at the different metrics, you know, it's hard not to talk about. It's hard not to notice. And again, not from a poking fun perspective, but I think the smart hockey people, the people who genuinely understand and know this game, will tell you there is talent on this roster. There is a future on this roster. The hurdle move, that shook a lot of heads. I think a lot of people were like, why would you get rid of Tomas Hertl? But I do think that the folks who understand this game and understand this league will tell you a lot of difficult decisions need to be made to get from under a lot of these contracts. Moving forward to next season down the road, depending on who you talk to, this is one of, if not, you know, the strongest prospect pool in the American League, and beyond in the system for San Jose. So a lot of younger players you're trying to develop. Like I said, you're getting yourself from up under a lot of contracts that hamstring you currently and would for the future. So the perception is this team is on the right track. It might not seem like it, but when you look at a true rebuild, I've always been a believer of, you know, making the playoffs. You want to sell the farm. You want to sell these guys for a short-term game. That's easy. But it's wanting to stay and be consistent in the playoffs that's hard. If you look at some of the best teams in the last 10, 15 years, your Chicago's, your Washington's, your Pittsburgh's, your Tampa's, they are consistently in the playoffs year in and year out. That's what you need. And you need to grow. You need to build from within. You need to add pieces from outside when they make sense. But a lot of those rosters that have won cups, that have won divisions, that have won president's trophies, they've been together from the time they were drafted up and through their organization. So it takes time. But I think the perception of the San Jose Sharks team is it might take a bit, but they're on the right track.
And then as a final one for you, looking at the Kraken after a couple years now in existence, or few, I should say, you know, they're now transitioning to that next phase. But, you know, I my kids, you know, they love their 10 and 8-year-old boys. So they're all about, you know, after the Sharks, they both love the Kraken. They love the uniform. They love the imagery. You know, it always looks sold out on TV. You know, does it still feel like the hype is there? And I understand, you know, going back to what we talked about earlier, last year was a bit of, I don't want to say overachievement because they earned it, but it was a little ahead of schedule. And there may have been, even correction doesn't seem like the right term, but it still feels like the franchise is full steam ahead. Like Pacific Northwest fans are all about it. I work in Major League Soccer, so I know the Sounders fan base, and, you know, looking at what they have in Vancouver and Portland as well. And I feel like that same mentality is right around Seattle right now with the Kraken. And it seems like, and even though this was a quote unquote down year, maybe a step back, it feels like it's still full steam ahead for next year.
It is. It really is. And I think from the expectations from ownership is still very high. What I'm loving seeing is, so I grew up in Detroit. I grew up in the late 90s. Hockey town, you know, I remember some of those Sharks Red Wings final, you know, conference final playoff series. I remember the Red Wings Avalanche rivalries growing up. And the one thing that I'm noticing is I'm seeing that same passion in Seattle, a city that's had an NHL team for 3 years now. I'm seeing that same kind of passion, that same type of fandom in Seattle that I remember seeing as a kid growing up. You're also seeing the expectations from the fans increase. You're seeing the fans starting to want more. And I think the expansion era, the expansion chapter of this team, I think that page is turning to now. You know, you've had your 3 years. Let's make some moves. Let's go get some players. Let's start to become a team that is on schedule. We say we're ahead of schedule. That buys us some time. But I think this third year is probably your last season of being able to have that expansion mindset. A lot of people are bullish on this team in the market, in the P&W. They love hockey. You're building, you're growing a hockey fan base. You're growing a hockey market. You know, our youth hockey numbers, our women in hockey numbers are growing. So many people who've never put on skates before are starting to take lessons and classes. You're building that from the ground up. And I think every part of the organization is saying, okay, now we need to put a winning team on the ice. And last year was only a taste of what this team's, you know, capabilities are. So you look at their system, you look at the number of draft picks that they have. There is a lot to be proud of for the future. There's a lot to look forward to for the future, but a lot of people want to build now. And I think when you go out to this summer, you're going to have to take a pretty big swing, either in free agency, a draft day trade. But I do think that next chapter needs to happen this summer. You need to get out of that expansion mindset and say, all right, we're here 3 years in. We've got a pretty good handle on what this league is, what we're about, what we can do. Now let's go out there and start to parlay all of this success in the community, all of the merchandising success, all the fan success. Let's parlay that now to success on the ice.
Everett, love it,
consistent,
man. I appreciate
consistent success on the ice.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But
you're good.
Thank you. I appreciate the time, man. I promised I will see you later tonight at the arena, and I'll bug you again soon. All right.
Looking forward to it. Always a pleasure.
Again, that is Everett Fitzhugh, the voice of the Seattle Kraken, who are taking on the San Jose Sharks tonight at 7:30 from SAP Center. And then I'll be back with you tomorrow morning on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light, to go over everything out of the game against the Kraken. Also, be sure to check out Shark Snapshot with Cherimbir Mahal of INDTV USA. That'll be out at 7:30 tomorrow morning, always after Sharks home games. All right, we're out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yen.